Welcome to the next episode of... how come you're not saying anything? Normally we sort of, you chime in and we do...
Welcome to episode 17 of Anime Pacific.
Yes, another...
stellar episode.
I was just about to say stellar. Are you
imitating
exactly,
me? Yes, I knew. You're very predictable.
And you've got your... Thank you. And you've got your... Canadian accent all down. Actually, Canadian normal English down very well. Thank you.
What about it? Have you got a few loonies, eh?
Yes.
And this
loonies
is our,
are good.
Our first post-iTunes submission.
Oh, yeah. That's the big news. After like 2 weeks of fudging around, we finally got it going on iTunes. So... but you know what? I did like a search for it, and it didn't come up. So maybe it's because my account is still registered in Japan, maybe. So yeah. I don't know what the reason is, but I did a search and it didn't come up. So maybe we just need more people to subscribe through iTunes, and it'll. So if you have iTunes, go to our Anime Pacific page and subscribe through iTunes, and maybe that'll make us more popular and get our name up the list. Right now at the top is like Anime Genesis and Anime World Order. Those are the big names. So help make Anime Pacific make the top 50. Maybe that should be our goal.
Yeah, and someone, anyone, Jake, can you please in Podcast Pickle give us a rating?
No, because... we shouldn't encourage that, because that's just too pitiful. You know what I mean?
Yes, I understand.
That's just sad. Right now we're at like zeros all the way through. But...
Yes, okay. Yeah. Well, now I know last week I did Shigeru Mizuki as my anime person of the week. And I was walking around yesterday. My wife had to print something, which normally should take about 3 minutes, but for her it took about 3 hours. She wanted to make sure everything was okay. So
what do you mean,
I walked.
Print what? Like text?
No. Print a label. She's for design. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So this area has got quite a few kind of model shops. As in, anime model shops. So there was one nearby.
You're down there whacking off continuously.
I took a break. And,
you've become a hardcore fan of models, I'm sure. Or have you given up completely after making the... discovering that it's not easy to paint? You subcontracted it out to your wife?
Well, no, I've actually found that there's pre-painted ones. That are cheaper than
that's just
I know. Anyway,
the whole point is like to paint them.
Well, nevertheless, these they didn't have any kind of those types of ones here. They had the ones that are already figurines, actual ones that people don't actually paint. And I saw some pretty awesome stuff in there. Including this absolutely huge special edition of Macross model. It was in a huge box and it was rather awesome. They got all these different Macross models of different mecha in Macross, so that was rather cool. And I saw a special box of the different yokai from Shigeru Mizuki's.
Oh, did you buy that?
Yeah, it's one of those, those little boxes... of a series, they got little cardboard boxes and inside is a different toy and a sticker or something like that. It was like that, and it was it included one yokai and a card, like a card about the yokai. It's all in Japanese, but my wife can read some of it because it's Chinese characters.
So the next step would be for you to join Collectica.
Yeah.
I know you got that email. Join Collectica.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But it also had some pretty cool pictures of Shigeru Mizuki. I think he's got some sort of new DVD out about his, revisiting New Guinea. And there's some interesting pictures there. I mean, it's just a little tiny thing, but I might be able to scan it and include it
Oh, put it up on the website.
Yeah, so that was...
You know what would be a good business? You're so close to China. Like, I'm sure there are, like, a lot of people out there like you who, like, would like to have these figurines and painted in great detail, but they, like you, just suck. So, like, you're so close to China. Couldn't you, like, sort of get, like, a little business going where you're just get a whole bunch of, like, really, you know, low-paid Chinese to, like, paint models for you? And, like,
it's
custom,
already been
you
done.
Could have... Oh, really?
Yeah, I saw the Haruhi Suzumiya that I went to great pains to paint for cheaper and already painted in China.
Right.
Yeah. But, of course, you know, if you're like that Cody Kwok guy who literally puts tattoos and stuff on his models and... Oh, my goodness. I mean, that guy sells models for like $5,000.
Right.
So it's insane.
Yeah, that is crazy. But, I mean, if you're doing it from China, if you get, like, enough people and you get, like, an assembly line kind of... Everybody's painting one part, you know? I don't know. It might work.
Oh, yeah.
That's great. Can you from that place you mentioned, can you get them, like, custom... Can you, like, order a custom one?
Yeah, I mean, there's already a whole bunch of shops dealing with that already. But, I mean, right. Of course, there's never... In Hong Kong, there's never too many of anything because there's people all over the place and
man,
every shop has people.
A great business idea. Somebody else has already thought of it. Story of my life. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, anyway, child sex slaves are hard to get these days.
You would know. Your copious amount of trips to Thailand draws suspicion.
Oh, yes. Well, speaking of trips, I'm going to Singapore tomorrow.
Oh, yes. How long?
About 16 inches. Oh, sorry, you mean how long am I going to Singapore? Okay, well, I'm going to Singapore for 5 days, 4 nights.
5 days. Oh, that's just about right, actually. You know, well, you know this, but the listeners don't. But my wife and I, we went down there. I guess we spent about almost the same, like 5-6 days in total in Singapore, and we took like a bus up from Singapore to Kuala Lumpur. That was an 8-hour trip, not recommended. we got food poisoning there, and that was horrendous. Like we spent like we had like 2 days in Kuala Lumpur, and like first. Like, Kaori came down with food poisoning, like, almost immediately as we got there. And I was still sort of okay. But she spent most of the time in the, you know, in the bedroom sort of groaning. And then soon after, I came down with food poisoning. So we didn't really get to see much of anything in Kuala Lumpur, actually. Mm. We tried to stumble toward the Petronas Towers, which at the time were, like, the world's tallest building. And we got like halfway there, and I started like puking my guts out, and I had this like sort of paper bag, and I was puking into it like literally like for 10 minutes. And while I was puking, these like two monks walked over to us and like was pestering us for money, you know, like a donation. You know, please, please, and they're shaking this thing. I'm like, and they're like, please, please, shaking this money bowl in front of me. And finally, Kaori, you know, she sort of exploded, and this is like totally not her, and you know her, like not her personality at all. She's like
not even a very Japanese thing to do, really.
Yeah, she barely like says anything, and she hates talking to strangers, but. You know, she was like, can't you see that he's sick? Go away! You know, that was like Kaori and very shocking. I couldn't say anything because I was like puking my liver out. But,
this is the most romantic thing you've ever done for me, Kaori.
Yeah, it was horrendous. And I had to sort of stumble back. I said, we gave up on trying to go up to the top of the Petronas Towers. And we sort of stumbled back to the hotel. But basically, the whole time there, I spent, you know, in the hotel room. So I didn't really get to see much of Kuala Lumpur at all, except for the, you know, to and from the bus station. And then we went, you know, back to the airport. We flew up to a beach resort, Langkawi. We spent like another week, 10 days there. And that was nice. And I got like a horrific sunburn. I still got the remnants of it, you know. Like, Okay, here's the story. Okay, like my ideal of a vacation is just to like sit and do nothing, like on the beach or whatever. And Calorie's kind of the opposite. She always wants to see at least one thing per day, and doesn't feels like sitting around is wasting your time. But anyways, like on the first day, you know, I went out to the beach like all set and expecting, you know, Calorie to bring down the suntan lotion, and you know, so I could put it on. Because you know how long she takes to get ready for anything, eh? So,
yeah, she's actually still in the hotel now getting packed up.
Yeah, so I still got tired of waiting for her, so I went down to the beach ahead of her, and she didn't bring the suntan lotion because she had put it on in the bedroom. I was like, oh, fuck, I don't want to have to walk all the way back to the room to put it on. Like, ah, screw it, I'll just sit here until lunch and then I'll put it on. Of course, that was a big mistake because in those, you know, couple hours, I like was roasting, so I got this really horrific sunburn. Stupid me! And I spent like the rest of the time in Langkawi, like just in pain from this horrific sunburn. Like it was so bad, like you get those like water blisters coming up on my skin, you know, like as if it was like a third degree burn. So it was really, really bad, and I still got the remnants of that today, you know. So, anyways. Singapore is your big vacation. Do you have any big plans?
Well, on a side note, you were just saying about the monks were bugging you, right?
Yeah.
Were they Buddhist monks?
Yes.
Because the primary school I work for is a Buddhist primary school, and the Chilin organization is huge, and of course. So I've had various trips to the Chilin nunnery, the Buddhist nunnery, and they will tell you, and anyone will tell you, the TV will tell you, that real Buddhist monks don't go down the street and ask for donations. Basically, it's some guy, some poor guy, and he's dressed up as a monk and sort of said, hey.
Right, yeah. Actually, same thing happens in Japan, actually, like, often at Kaneyama Station.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those kind of, yeah, those Japanese...
They're dressed up as, like, a Shinto guy there, and they wear the hat that's, like, a big round one, like in Vietnam or whatever, and, you know, they're there with the ringing his bell every once in a while, you know, and he's fake, he's not real.
Yeah, so, just a word of warning for those of you who travel to Asia and see those monks. They won't ask for a donation.
Yeah, beware of... They make enough money. Hell, you go to those temples in Japan, it's like...
Oh, it's outrageous.
I mean, what you're paying just to get in. Like, I remember when we were first there, it was you, me, and Kaori, and we were in Osaka and Kyoto. You sort of skipped a lot of these sort of sites we were going to just because it was so expensive, just the entrance fee to walk around their shrine or park or whatever.
Yeah, well, actually, it was also because I went there before, and that was your first time to Kyoto, so I'd seen a lot of that stuff already, and the price kind of wasn't worth it for a second visit, I thought.
But plus, like, even, like, the non-famous ones, they all charge, I mean, for, like, funerals, and you want to pray, you throw in some coins, and these little... you know, prayer cards you hang on their trees or whatever. Everything costs money. It's all a scam. So, anyways, in Singapore,
yes,
you must be looking forward to that.
Well, I am. Except, you know, you said you're the kind of guy that might like a beach or something, but I'm the kind of guy that likes a tundra.
right.
I know it's quite hot there.
It's like 30 degrees all year round. Eh?
Yeah.
I love it there. I love Singapore, even better than Hong Kong, you know. Singapore is like Hong Kong, but Hong Kong is a great city, don't get me wrong. Like, the transportation, everything about it's great, but Singapore's like that, all the good things about Hong Kong, but it feels like you've got more space, and there's so much more green.
Yeah.
Hong Kong has, like, sort of this urban feel. There's not many trees along the main roads, they seem sort of small. Everything seems kind of gray. Especially like in Fotan, but if you go into other places, it's okay. But
Fotan, I got a whole mountain view here.
Yeah, okay. Besides like the actual sort of mountain, but I mean like down in the actual like urban areas, like you'll see when you get there. Like you're going down like the main streets, there are huge trees, shady trees everywhere, and
it's actually
wonderful.
The same size as Hong Kong, but Hong Kong is so mountainous.
Right.
So, but Singapore is relatively flat, from what I've heard. So
I don't know. We haven't really discussed it, but you should check out the zoo there. It's really awesome.
Yeah, Connie is insisting we go to the zoo, so
it's totally worth it.
And
it's
I'm going to the water park, because for someone who hates hot weather, I love water parks, you know, with water slides and whatnot.
Yeah, we didn't get to go there when I was there, but yeah, like I know when you were in Nagoya, you know, Connie wanted to go to that zoo there, which was shit, you know, because in Japanese zoos, it's all like concrete and the cages are there. It's like the zoo from like 100 years ago. You imagine in like London or whatever. It's the same sort of thing. Everything is concrete and everything is more small cages in Japan. But like the Singapore Zoo is the opposite, you know.
Yeah.
So highly recommend it.
Great. Yes. Okay. Right. Well, anyway.
I guess that's just about it.
Yep. So we have a few emails, and we'll read those now.
Stop. Oh yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman. Wait, Mr. Postman.
Please, Mr. Postman, look and see.
Okay, well, it's all people known to us who have replied this week, mostly replies, but...
But that's good, so we got like 4 emails, so we're on our way to
a real
email segment every week. We were lucky to get one, so...
Well, just as a little side note, I noticed we had some feed problems last week, right? And I ended up having to, like, restart the feed or something like that because it wasn't updating anywhere except the official website. And the next day, episode 16 got, like, next to no downloads. But then after I fixed the feed and it showed up on Podcast Pickle and everywhere else, we got, you know, all the fans that normally download. Yeah, a big spike. So
That spike seemed a bit high, you know. That was, like, 100 and something. That can't be right.
I don't know. It could have been, like, all the ones that were missed with the feed screwing up. But the main thing was that it makes me think, does anyone visit the official homepage besides perhaps Binu and Jake? I'd really be interested to know because I painstakingly put all those show notes there, which do turn up elsewhere, but not as good.
Yeah, and you put a lot of work into that home, especially all those videos and pictures. Really is a superb job.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes.
So Binu actually offered, Binu of Anime Genesis fame, our good chum Binu, he sent a message offering help. But as a side note, he showed us something.
This is funny.
Yeah, this is quite funny because I added like a live news feed at the side. That's another thing, you know, another benefit to visiting the official Anime Pacific website. There is a live news feed, which is a new feature for the blogger. And, of course, I typed in automatically to display anime-related news.
Your favorite topics.
Anime-related news, hentai-related news.
Favorite topic.
Japanese-related news. So, anyway, he sent me, like, one of the things, because usually it shows 4 news feeds, and there's some pro wrestler, it turns out, called Hentai. So, I mean, he sent all these news links on the side. When Gory is faced with Hentai, Zeon must battle with Jacobs. Shima Zeon tried his hardest to enter the Super Indy 5 tournament last year, etc., etc. And I just don't know what the heck it's talking about. And then, of course, another one, it'll sometimes link to editorials and other blogs and stuff. Number 3, the anti-hentai crowd, yaoi and yuri crowd. Oh, great, so you mean to tell me, besides told being what format to get and what language to watch it in, I'm dot 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 dot. So this sort of news feed can turn up some pretty cool stuff, but at the same time...
a lot of rubbish.
Yeah, so I'll post that little picture in the show notes. You can have a look. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. So there must be a way of, like... Like, if you do, like, a Google search, you can, like, minus something. So you can do, like, minus wrestling, maybe. Mm-hmm. And maybe it'll eliminate a lot of the wrestling-related ones.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Give that a shot. So anyways, so that's cool. Now, we got 3 other emails besides that. So why don't you read Jake's
email? Okay. Well, Jake, while he was listening to the show, he heard our joke about the girlfriend. And
We sort of were insinuating that he was like that guy in Psycho,
yeah, with the skeleton.
He was talking to like a skeleton dressed in like moe fashion or something. Yes.
Of course, it was all in jest, but he sent.
No,
us
I was serious.
Of course, he sent us a picture, and I have to say, Jake, that is the finest Photoshop job I've ever seen. No, just kidding.
Yeah.
No,
I was gonna make a joke like, boy, your sister is really good, you know, like that. But you know, obviously, you look at the actual photo and it's not gonna work. So.
Yes. Yes, she's a very lovely, lovely young lady, and the joke's on us. Yes. Good job, Jake.
Yeah.
You could have
just paid somebody, maybe a school chum, to be in the photo with him. Very elaborate hoax.
Yes. We want scanned love letters. We want Christmas cards. Yes. We're like the immigration.
We want
here.
A picture of you two naked having sex. No, we don't. No, that would be disturbing.
My goodness.
How could you suggest that, Dane?
Oh. My psychic powers.
All right, so okay, but no, just joking. Okay, we believe you. You actually have a girlfriend.
Yes. Okay. Well, so you wanted to read Stephanie, aka Watcher Angel.
Yeah. Ooh, you let slip her actual first name. That's shocking.
Well, that's right. Yeah. Now you can find out where she lives. Funnily enough,
yes,
on the same,
a very rare name.
The same week that. That we read out her first email, Anime Pulse also read out her email. So,
she's emailing everyone.
Yeah, she's on a roll here. No, she. Anyway.
All right, whatever. So that's good. So let me read her email.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Hey guys, sorry this is so delayed. If I were a better person, I would have written it last week. Okay. But I was on spring break and felt no desire to really do anything. Okay. Ooh, that's a spring break, eh? Maybe she was in Mexico. You should tell us. Were you in Mexico on a beach getting a huge sunburn like me? I don't know. Anyway, since you ask, I usually listen to the podcast while I'm walking around my college campus and sometimes while I clean the house. You save me from the tedium.
Oh, she goes to the same university that the anime Pulse guys go to.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, I wonder if they know each other.
No. She said in the message in the mail to them that you know, I go to your college, and they're like, oh well, you know, if you're around, say hello.
Yeah. I bet you they do. Some anime nerds really want to, you know, come here, baby. I can see it all now.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. And I am something of a Clamp fan, and I never gave it much thought, but their work hasn't exactly ever struck me as sexist, but who knows. Yeah, I think I'm with you there, although I'm not really a Clamp fan, but not sexist, just marketing.
Yeah.
Now, I love you guys, but I'm tired of your rants on 300 and your Go Girl characters. I'm not saying this because I disagree with your opinion. In fact, I'm pretty indifferent, but you made your point the first time, and it wasn't really that interesting then. Wow.
Okay.
Well, we only did it twice.
Yeah.
We had our fill the first two times.
So. Yeah. We're done with that, so don't worry.
And anyways, we did both of those shows. It was like a two hour show. So
yeah,
it's not like there was like a shortage of any other stuff to listen to.
Yeah.
And hell, you know, we often talk about like that topic. Actually, not often, but we talk about it like off air too. So it's not like something we just pulled out of our ass. You know, we really feel strongly about it.
Yeah.
So you know.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the show. And I know this is going back a couple of weeks, but I had to respond. Your review of Rape Man was both disturbing and amusing, despite what Alex says. I don't think Dane ever gave it any stars.
That's right. Thank you. Thank
no,
you.
It was a 5-star review.
Yeah.
No, I know he didn't give it any stars. Yeah. That's why. That's the joke.
Yeah, she knows.
Anywho, safe to say I'll never watch it. Dane watched it several times.
No.
Okay.
there's actually, on a side note, just so you guys know, there has actually been, I didn't know about this, but there's actually been a long-running live-action Rape Man video series in Japan.
Really?
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know if I mentioned this, but in Law and Order episode,
Oh, they, yeah, you told me they mentioned Rape Man.
Did I mention it on air?
Yeah, you did.
Oh. Anyway, it was in the Law and Order episode as an example of, like, anime. Like, this person was watching a lot of anime and did a crime or something, and they were like, this is what happened, Japanese anime is. I remember in a class, I think one of the teachers had seen that episode and said, you know, oh, Japanese cartoons, they're all disgusting. They have stuff like Rape Man, you know. This whole thing with the Freedom anime really bugs me because I'm afraid they'll start some kind of trend among the other big companies and kill the English market. So what do you think about that, Dane?
Well, I think a good example, I mean, of course Bandai, the Japanese, they're doing the same thing in Japan that they are in the US.
Yeah,
and,
but do you think the other companies are going to copy? I don't think.
I don't think so. It's very much the Japanese way of doing business. And one good case in point is, remember I was talking last week about a classic mecha anime, Space Runaway Ideon or Ideon.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, that. If you look at a lot of Japanese top 100s, it's usually somewhere in the top 20 of most influential or the best of all time. A lot of people have paid tribute to that anime, and it, like Gundam, it was cancelled before it got to the end, and like Gundam, it became so popular that the fans demanded more, so they made a film to finish off the series. Now, I remember that they knew that this had a huge cult following, and when they released this on DVD, the Japanese have a reputation, and Anime World Order said the same thing, that they won't charge what's fair and get a million people buying it. They will charge as much as they humanly can for the hardcore people. That means if 100 hardcore people will pay $5,000 for a box set, that's what they'll do. So they released this Space Runaway Ideon for the, you know, a really expensive price, and naturally only the hardcore fans bought it, and then they said, oh well, you know, this didn't sell too well, so we're going to sell the movie for like $120, and they did it, and the fans bought it. So I mean, they're really
crazy.
Yeah, so this is very much a sort of the worst of the Japanese way of doing things, in especially in the sort of the otaku market, but I don't think US fans will put up with that, especially in the world of downloading, where Japanese fans won't usually download, but we
very
of course would
over there.
Yeah,
so, yeah, hell, I mean, yeah,
honestly say that, and I'll say this quite openly, that I am not going to spend that money on Freedom.
Yeah, and, I mean, we've already seen the first episode, we've seen the second episode, and you didn't pay anything. I mean, who the hell's going to... Like, if it was, you know, a whole series for 30, 40 bucks, you know, I really love it, so I might consider it, but, you know... Anyways, we rehashed this out last week.
Yep.
So I'll keep reading here. Okay. Anyways, I don't think... I think that, you know, it's not in their best interest to kill the English market, so I don't think it's going to happen with other companies. Okay, furthermore, the response about the dubs was completely pathetic. Mm-hmm. I listened to
Anime World Order's
rant on the subject, and the point was not that English fans want a dub, just that it's crazy to charge that price and not even have a dub track.
Yeah, I mean, you're minusing a feature there.
Yeah, I mean, like often, you know, I don't even watch the extras in a lot of DVDs I have, but it's just nice to know it's there.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like you're paying for something, and you want something that's complete. You don't want them to cut corners, you know. So even people who don't want dubs, you know, I think it's nice to know it's there, you know. The whole thing's a real bummer. I really wanted to see that anime too. Well, get BitTorrent. One last thing, I've always been something of a mythology fan, long before I even got into anime. Ooh, a girl after your heart, Dane.
Yes.
So I've been one. I wonder, hey, do you like Kevin Thorbo, like Dane here? So I've been wondering what the difference between yokai and oni yokai and oni.
Yes. Okay.
Answer
well,
that question.
I can answer that question. Yokai is kind of the all the mythological kind of beasts for the most part. Oni is actually just one such type of yokai. Yokai is pretty much the equivalent to demon or ogre. So it can describe a variety of things. So, but generally oni are humanoid, large, sometimes small, and they depictions of them usually have a face like a man, an ape, or a beast, sometimes even a bird. Anyway, the website that I put a link to last week, Obaki Mono Project, has a whole alphabetical list of the yokai, and oni is under O, of course. And I'll actually reply you with the direct link to the oni there. So that might clear that up.
You should put it on the show notes as well.
Yes. So I'll
put
a link to that. For
anyone who's interested.
Yeah, because I love this stuff, and you know, I'm glad someone's interested in it.
Okay, next. Well, I kind of dragged on this time, so I'll leave it at that. Since you guys have been complaining about people's writing ability, I have to apologize for this letter being so choppy, but I just finished writing a 6-page paper, so I'm lacking in motivation. Keep up the good work. Watch your angel. And in fairness, it really hasn't been Dane complaining. It's been more me. And I don't think I've been complaining. I just think it's funny.
It's just a long-running joke, really.
Yeah, yeah, it's all in good fun.
Yeah.
People need to chill out. Okay. Yeah. P.S. Alex, I'll try and up the sexiness in my drawings. I'll be looking forward to that.
Yeah, we'll post links to that.
Bathing suits and bikinis, please.
Yes. All right. Okay. Well, thank you very much for that, Watcher Angel. We always love to get your emails, and there's lots of interesting stuff there that we could talk about. So,
yes.
We have one more email from David the Mecha Fan Lee.
All right. This is sort of my area of interest as well. So I'll read this, and then I guess you want to go on to something that's related. So
yes, that's right.
All right, David. Hey, Alex and Dane. These days, serious war drama that involve mecha is really hard to come by, especially if you're looking for a show that doesn't involve kids. Yeah. I think Dane is on the right track by reviewing older anime to get his fix. Yep. I'm currently in the process of doing the same thing. Even though I'm a child of the 80s, my access to anime was limited to what I could view on basic cable, which was pretty much next to nothing. So I haven't had the pleasure of viewing older shows like Macross, Pat Labor, Votoms.
Votoms. Votoms was a series popular in the 80s. I saw a shitload of toys yesterday in that shop for Votoms.
He hasn't seen Pat Labor? Who hasn't seen? It's on TV like every weekend. Who hasn't seen Pat Labor?
I think you might mean the TV series, perhaps.
But even that, the movies. God, I don't know if he's in Canada or America, but in Canada, the channel here was running it all the time. I think it was like Showcase or
in Australia. It was actually on non-cable TV. Pat Labor.
It's on all. It was on at least when I was living in, you know, like 5 years ago.
Essentially, I would say for Pat Labor, give the TV series a miss. It's actually an alternate universe, but for the best of Pat Labor, you should watch the original OVA series. And
yeah, they rock. Check it out.
Yeah, and the films, of course. I think the second film is probably the best one.
Pat Labor is awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
I wish they'd make some more of those. Okay, Macross, of course, is great. Votoms, I've never heard of.
No, Anime World Order talk about that quite a bit. I think they had a whole show on that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm hoping to rectify this through the use of a limited cash flow and torrents of classic anime. Yeah. Here. That sounds like me as well. Because of that, though, I can't really recommend anything that you probably haven't already seen or would turn you away because of the main character as a kid. As for a best and worst list, there are only two that I can truly say go on my favorites list. And three that deserve my undying hatred. Everything else that I've seen range from either good to bad, but don't quite make the list. Yeah, I think I... Boy, this guy... Me and this guy here are, like, in sync completely. We should have him on the show. Is that possible?
I don't know. David, do you want to have a Mecha special?
Yeah, you got to get on the show. Okay. We have, like, this cosmic connect. We think alike. Okay. And anyways, for my best two in no particular order, Gundam 0083 and 08 MS Team. Boy, I agree completely. I have both... box sets, actually. Mm. Completely awesome. Although I think I have the Hong Kong versions. But, yeah. Awesome, awesome. Both are very good war dramas, and both have experienced middle-aged pods that kick ass without the use of plot devices, gimmicks, or over-the-top mecha. For the worst, again, in no particular order, Gundam Seed and Destiny, Evangelion and Vandred.
Haven't
seen
Vandred.
Oh, I completely agree. Evangelion, horrible. I know a lot of fanboys out there that really love it, but I've already gone over why I hate it a million times, but my undying hatred goes for Evangelion. I agree completely with this guy. I won't waste my time bashing these three. Feel free, bash away. All I'm going to say is that all three were filled with more cliches than I could tolerate. Before I end this email, I'd just like to leave you with the link. It's to a blog site that did a brief review on the Spring 2007 anime season that's airing right now. I was surprised when I read it last week because there are actually 5 mecha titles in the mix. Unfortunately for Alex, 3 out of the 5 have been confirmed to have kids as the main character. Boo! I still intend on watching them, though. Like I said, we have to latch on to what we can get. Yeah. I prefer to be more particular. I'm still 6 years away from becoming a bitter fan like Alex.
So you must be 24 then.
Yeah, but if the current moe trend keeps up, I may get there sooner than I think. Anyway, keep up the good work, and as always, look forward to the next podcast. And he gives the link here, which I guess you can post on the website.
Yeah, actually, Anime Genesis have just released an episode devoted to Spring 2007 preview, so
yeah.
I won't go through all of them. But
hey,
I'll go through.
By
the
way, I just want to.
Yep.
And before you do, I just want to mention how all our email this week, they were very well written. Thank you.
Yes.
Seriously, they were well written. This guy had paragraphs and everything. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. But we'll go through the Mecha series, seeing as, and I apologize to our female listeners, such as Watcher Angel, because I know Mecha is very much. For the most part, not always, but for the most part, a boys kind of a genre. You know, it's just interesting. Gainax. Ooh. Gainax have a new mecha anime, which is going to have the Sunday morning time slot, so it could probably be for kids. It's about a boy who lives underground, finds that he has a robot that looks like a head. The mecha designs...
How old is the boy?
I don't know.
All right. Sounds
see,
like every other.
You can see the website for it. It does feature a skimpy bikini-clad sidekick, so there's promise.
Oh,
here.
Oh, that's a plus.
Yeah, it's called Tengen Toppa Gurren Lagann. I hope I said that right. And there's a link to the official website there. Now, yeah, the boy looks like he's about 12. So,
boo.
But,
why can't it be like a homeless man who finds a mecha? See, I'd watch an anime like that, something different, like a homeless man, like a drunk, and he wanders around inebriated. It could be some comic relief there as well, and he has a skimpy homeless woman or something as a
yeah.
Yes, there we go.
I gotta say though, this show, it looks. I will give this show a try. I really love the character designs. Pretty much every female is wearing something skimpy, the mecha designs is cute. I mean, it's like a head with arms and legs, but
that's stupid.
It's silly,
but they're targeting the 14-15 year old age bracket.
They've
got the protagonist who's that age, and they've got the chicks in the bikinis. You know,
if it's
everything about this says
it could very well
teenager.
Be a parody, and if it is a good parody, I mean, I know I said the Mecha series has become a parody of itself, but I'll check.
That might
it out.
Be interesting if it's like a serious, like sort of like a parody of all the other,
yeah,
like a satire of the other sort of cheeseball
Well, if you look at some of the mecha here, there's one here with, like, sunglasses. So, I mean,
it's... okay, well, that I might buy if it's, like, a comedy.
So, I mean, I'll check out the first few episodes of that and give a report on whether that's good. Pretty much everything else is, like, moe. However, there is a new show... Now, this, in theory, sounds interesting. It's called Heroic Age, and it's done by... the staff of Fafner, which was another mecha anime that was relatively popular a season or two ago. It's called Heroic Age, and it's a mecha show mixed with Greek mythology.
Oh, that sounds interesting. Maybe.
But the mecha looks rather cool. I mean, it's got features.
But I don't understand how you can mix sort of Greek mythology in mecha.
It looks like it's like sci-fi judging by the pictures, but perhaps the setting is kind of a indicative of Greek mythology. But the website's a dual language, so it's a bit difficult to navigate, and there's not much in the way of not easy to find any mecha designs. But that one It mentions the 12 labors, and one of the characters is called Deianira, who of course was the wife of Hercules, or Heracles. So I have no idea how they're going to set that off, but interesting.
It sounds intriguing, and if they do it right, it might work. But I don't know. I mean, actually, I would like to see just a pure sort of Greek mythology show.
Oh well, you should watch Arion. Wonderful film. It's a film, and it's like a Greek mythological film. Arion.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Arion.
Okay, now here's the one that is probably going to get Alex's most hated of the year mecha show, which is called Idolmaster Xenoglossia. Now, Idolmaster, I think, is a PS2 game about idols, as in little girl singers. However,
oh my god,
for the TV series of this, they said, well, let's keep them as idols, but let's put them in mecha.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Sounds horrible.
By the way, the guy who's doing this blog seems to have very different tastes to the rest of us.
He's all excited. Oh, yeah. What a great combination. Idols and little kids and mecha. It's all working out.
All girls. Although the mecha, I got to admit, the mecha looks rather cool. But I mean, you know, that's porn for mecha fans, really.
Yeah, he's no, it's not.
I mean,
like
good
moe.
Mecha designs is you know, eye porn, basically. But I mean, anyway, the character designs look good. The art looks good, but I don't know if it's going to be a winning combination. It could surprise us. Now, the next one is the one by far that has got me the most excited. This looks like it could really be everything we want. It's called Kiss Dumb Engage Planet. And Shoji Kawamori, you know, of Macross fame, is doing the mecha designs. And if you go to the official website and you see these mecha designs, they are really awesome, and they look... You'll instantly feel Macross when you see them. If you see some of these designs, because he's got lots of different mecha that are very well illustrated.
Yeah, this looks like they're not kids. It looks like they're, except for one in the back left, maybe he's this daughter or son of somebody. But these look like adults. This could be interesting.
Yeah.
This, of course, is the one show that this blogger is kind of down on.
Yeah, exactly.
One that sort of possibly could be sort of realistic. He's like, well, there are a lot of mecha-related shows this season. I'm not sure I'll be picking this one up. But yeah, so you'll have to remind me to get this, Gagebro.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued by this. I mean, the designs are really good. The characters...
premieres April 3rd. That was, 2 days ago.
Yeah, so
it's April 5th we're recording it.
I suppose a fan sub will come out eventually. And there's the website is pretty easy to navigate. All the characters look like they're older than 16 at least. I think it's quite funny that they've got the female character down the bottom, and they got one picture of her in her underwear for no reason at all.
Where's this?
In the character section of the official website.
Oh, the official website.
Yeah,
oh.
And check out the mechanics section if
for no reason. There's always a reason to show pictures of women in their underwear.
That's right.
there's always a reason.
Yep, and the other mecha show that is coming out is called Kishin Taisen Gigantic Formula, and it's about countries, different countries building mecha. So each mecha is piloted by different people from around the world, and Japan have chosen a 12-year-old boy and a 12-year-old girl to pilot their mecha.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Yeah. The only thing of note, and it's called, the website is giganticf.com, gigantic-f.com. I'll post a link anyway. But what is interesting is that pretty much every person in the industry of mecha is a, did designs for this. Everyone. You know, Shoji Kawamori included. But judging by the website, gee, this one looks like Gundam. Japan's robot looks like Gundam. The each country, you know, they've got like the EU robot, they've got the Chinese robot, which I'm sure is going to be the villain, the German robot, but I don't know, like WWF, and
German robot
Kotetsuhin Jig, which is a remake of a show from 1975, looks, you know, cutesy. I don't know.
What's this show called again?
Which show?
What are you talking about now?
Oh, the remake of a 1975 one. I can't remember. I just closed the webpage.
All right, forget it.
Yeah. And so, I mean, there you go.
Oh, I see. Kishin Taisen Gigantic Formula.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are two or three shows. Two shows that I will see, one that I will definitely see, so I will see how that goes. For everything else on the list, there's a few good-looking ones, but I guess you should watch Anime Genesis. They talk about that more in depth. But one that I am looking out for is Claymore, which I remember I said monthly Shonen Jump was, you know, ending its life, and Claymore was one of the top manga in that one, so lots of people are looking forward to that one. It's kind of a fantasy one, and you know I like fantasy, so that's pretty much it. And regarding news, there isn't really much news worthy of discussing, so I think I'll go straight to a review.
So as you can see, Mike, this new version of game will be very beneficial for
mainframe. Wait, game? I thought it was pronounced Gun.
No, it's pronounced Game.
Really? I'm pretty sure it's Gun.
No, Mike, it's Game. You're confusing it with something else.
Well, we can solve this just as easily. Let's see here. Show me the way to you. Lead me now where you are.
Well, I don't know about you, but I can use a soda.
R5 Central, podcasting at its finest, maybe. R5Central.blogspot.com. You can also catch us on iTunes, MySpace, Bustin' and any of the five plants of the Pentagona system. See you later.
This week is also of an older anime. I watched it again yesterday, although I didn't need to for the purpose of this review because I have seen it so many times. The title of this is Cyber City Oedo 808.
Wouldn't it be Oedo? Because like it's a play on like Edo, like the Edo period. So I think it's Oedo.
It's pronounced Oedo.
But E would be I, O I. It should be Oedo.
Yeah, but in the
All right, if you say so. But Edo period, Oedo. Anyways, all right.
It's been said. I think one reviewer said it best when they said, "Ghost in the Shell is cyber, Akira is punk, but Cyber City is definitely cyberpunk. It is the quintessential cyberpunk anime." And
wow.
It came out in 1990, which, as you know, it was probably the moment of orgasm as far as OVAs are concerned.
Well, I can't believe this is... I have not seen this. I mean, this is like an OVA, 3 episodes, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, like, this is right in that time I was really into sort of cyberpunk. I was playing Shadowrun, sort of nerd alert here. I was playing the Shadowrun pen and paper RPG.
Yeah.
Wow, so I would have been right into this, right in that period. I can't believe I never got into it.
Well, it was directed by Yoshiaki Kawajiri, who, of course, directed Ninja Scroll, Demon City Shinjuku, Wicked City, all of those. And it also the character designs were mostly done by him. And if you want to think of a typical example of Kawajiri's character designs, they are very well shadowed, the good shading, very detailed, and generally the characters look like their nationalities. That means Japanese people have black hair. They look Japanese, you know. They don't have purple hair and huge eyes. So that's one characteristic of his character designs. It was originally meant to be just a one-episode OVA series, and it ended up being 3 episodes because it was so popular. Now, to get past a few things that would have made future episodes difficult, some continuity things, instead of making it in one timeline, one episode focuses on a character.
Now, that's interesting.
Yeah, one very clever move is to set this in the year 2808, because there's too many cyberpunk shows that say in the year 2000. And
Or 2010.
Yeah.
You know. Where are the flying cars? I mean, we're in 2000.
Yep.
You should be in space and, you know.
Yep. I thought I'd be just like George Jetson.
And the SDF should have crashed on that island like 8 years ago. So that's a good idea.
That's right, the SDF won.
Yeah, the SDF won, the original. It was supposed to crash in like 1999, right?
Well, damn it.
You know?
Yeah. This was also made at the same time as a similar in production project, Goku Midnight Eye. Funnily enough, one of the main characters is also called Sengoku. Sengoku itself is not so much of a funny name because it's based on the main character, the Monkey King in Journey to the West, a.k.a. Sayuki, a.k.a. Sayalge.
Alright, you're going off on a tangent.
Yeah, I'm just trying to sound like I'm smart. Anyway, it was made by Madhouse, and Madhouse were very prolific in OVAs and films in the mid-80s, early 90s, and the plot is about 3 cyber criminals. It's set in the future, and it starts off in a satellite prison. 3 cyber criminals are given the chance to be cyber cops. Now, one mysterious man called Hasegawa, who is responsible for the cyber police, recruits criminals. These guys are all doing about 300 years for various things. The main character in the first episode, Sengoku, is kind of the rough, tough kind of smart-ass kind of guy. The other character, Gogol, is also extremely muscular, but he's the kind of the master hacker. And Benten, who is kind of this transvestite kind of a guy, is the sort of the very how could I put it, the very agile kind of fellow. So
what does that mean?
Well, you know, he can leap. He can leap, and he's got his weapon is these strings that you can throw through people and cut parts of them off. Now,
Like a mono filament.
Yeah, and
they got that in Shadowrun. I remember that.
Hasegawa basically says, "Okay, if you guys are in, for each cyber criminal you apprehend, we'll knock a few years off your sentence." And of course, he knows that these are known criminals. They're in for various things, you know, murder, hacking, kidnapping, extortion, etc. That these guys probably can't be trusted. So, how is this circumvented? He puts, very similar to Battle Royale, a collar around their neck. Every mission they have has a certain time limit. If they don't do their mission, if they don't finish it in time, if they go AWOL, Hasegawa blows the collar up, and these guys get their head blown off.
Well, that's cool. Wasn't that in The Running Man also?
Yeah, it was also in The Running Man. So, and this came out a bit after The Running Man, so that could have been a bit of influence there. So, as I said, each episode focuses on the three different characters. The first episode is focused on Sengoku. The first episode, Kawajiri's direction is really, really good. He's very stylized, got lots of shadowing. I love the depiction of the city because it's full of just these strange-looking scumbags and gangs and whatnot. And, of course, like any cyberpunk, it's eternally nighttime. And the thing I love the most about this is that it's hardcore cyberpunk. When you think about Ghost in the Shell, another favorite of mine, it feels a lot more closer to home, you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, there's just a feeling that it's not so cyberpunk in the sense that it's much closer now than it was before. But this is hardcore cyberpunk. I mean,
is this like a dystopia, or is it?
Slight references to the state of the time, like the government. I know it's the Imperial Japanese Army again.
Okay.
So Japan is kind
make
of
make the nationalists happy. All right.
Yes.
But I mean, like, it's not a nice place to like. Is it more like? Is it more along the lines of like Blade Runner, or is it more?
It's
Ghost in the Shell is like sort of a pleasant place to live in that universe.
No,
right?
I'd
so that's
say
not
it's,
really.
It's more like Blade Runner. There's lots of dangerous guys out there, and it doesn't feel like it's a very safe place to live in.
Okay.
So anyway, your first episode focuses on Sengoku, and Sengoku has to he has to go into the world's biggest skyscraper, and there's about 50,000 people trapped in it. This skyscraper is huge, and someone has held it hostage, and the guy who's held it hostage wants to find someone in that building because they have a history together. They were involved in the design of the building or whatnot. So Sengoku has to sort of go in there and fix the problem, and you know, because the hacker has got all the security systems on and is causing a lot of trouble, and Sengoku has to basically, you know, find the guy who's actually in the building, and who he is kind of interesting in itself, and sort of save all the people in the building. A bit Die Hard-ish, I'd say.
Right, okay.
A lot of people like episode one the best. It is a good episode. I mean, I love them all, but this one, I think has slight pacing issues in the middle. It's a little bit slower, I think. And the English dub, I mean, when I first bought this, it was in Australia on VHS, and we only had a choice of dub. So, but fortunately, the voice acting is very good, but the script, while there's an awesome English script in some of the words that they say, but the they also saw fit to just throw it swear words all the way through. I mean, literally.
Well, what's wrong with that?
No, I mean, it's purists
suddenly
might have. No, purists might have trouble, might have issues with this, that's all. One example, Sengoku, definitely the first episode focusing on him, has the most swearing, because I remember there's one scene where the robot says, oh, actually, I'll tell you what, I'll post in a WAV file in the middle of this show. Okay, so everyone, here is the WAV file.
I am authorized to extend the state's congratulations on the success of your mission.
Yeah, yippee, whoop the fucking do. Just piss off and let me enjoy my motherfucking hangover in peace, will you?
It is my duty to remind you that you are forbidden the consumption of alcohol. The drug results in impaired motor neuron response, which will hinder your work.
You're really all hard, aren't you, you asshole?
Okay, and if you want to see more of that robot, you can check out R5 Central.
I don't get it.
That's another podcast where they have a robot.
I see.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's typical of the sort of language you can hear in this. There's Barsass, who is this robot who kind of follows them around, who is pretty funny in his own way. He just blabs on and on and on and on and on and on. And he sort of makes sure that the cyber cops are doing everything okay. And if they're doing anything that they shouldn't, they report it to Hasegawa. Because if they do something wrong, Hasegawa could very well say, okay, well, you got 10 more years, as in you lose 10 years, not as in you get 10 years deducted. So the first one's interesting, and I think the best thing about the first one is the ending. It is such not a typical ending for the sort of stuff we're used to seeing, especially okay. Hollywood stuff. Great ending.
All right, what about the second one?
The second one focuses on Gogol, the sort of the strong hacker, super hacker, and it's about him and a girl that he used to be friends with, who meets up with him again and says, the Special Forces are after me. In fact, she's working with the Special Forces, and they want to test their new cyber droid against Gogol.
Okay.
Yeah, and Gogol has
sounds
to...
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, that second one is also... it's much more sort of action-packed, much more quite bloody. It's very interesting, yeah. It's basically Gogol versus this big droid, but there's a sort of a subplot where Ben 10 and Sengoku are investigating the Special Forces headquarters. Now, I think one thing of note is, as I've said before, Kawajiri really has some good direction here. One scene in particular is where Ben 10 and Sengoku are in the Special Forces building, and the Special Forces guys catch them. Ben 10, being the clever guy, has these remote bombs linked up to the lighting. So he turns the power off, and everything's black. And of course the guys shoot, bang, 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 and Ben 10 and Sengoku basically, you know, fly in the air and kick the crap out of them. But it's the effect that's good, because everything is pitch black. So each bang, you see a bit of light. So it's
that's
got,
cool.
Yeah, it's got that sort of slideshow effect, but it's done very effectively.
Alright.
It's not something you thought would work in animation, but it works very well. The animation is very
okay.
good.
Okay, so episode 1, episode 2, both very good. What about episode 3, any good?
Episode 3 is probably personally my favorite, which focuses on Ben 10. Ben 10 being, you know, the kind of the, I wouldn't say transvestite, but very effeminate. He wears, you know, nail polish and whatnot. But for a lot of Japanese men...
So he's, like, clearly riding the Hershey Highway.
No. He seems heterosexual. And now, yeah, as I said, this one's my favorite. This one, and it is a bit of the more outrageous ones in terms of story, but you see a bit more of Cyber City and the sort of denizens in Cyber City, and I thought that was really cool. I love these sort of Cyber
Cities.
Yeah, because, you know, it's always these mysterious alleys with guys in Chinese suits with mysterious drugs and little midgets with strange headsets and stuff like that. I just love
it. Yeah, it sounds cool. Like, I gotta check this out. And here's a key question.
Mm-hmm.
How much fan service do we get in this show?
No breasts. Actually, and I will talk about this in a minute about the female characters. But anyway, it's about some sort of virus which was meant to prolong the life of a certain someone. and he was testing the virus out, and it sort of makes you like a vampire. You need blood to continue. So Ben 10 is kind of investigating this vampire case, where it's not exactly vampires, of course, but it's kind of like a genetic excuse for vampires. That one is really, really good, I think, because I just like Ben 10 as a character, and I just really enjoyed the story.
Hey kids, do you like Japanese animation but have a hard time figuring out what to watch? Then you need to listen to the weekly Anime Review Podcast, where we talk about giant robots,
sword, blazing sword,
magical girls, and other weird Japanese cartoons.
Curse those evil octopi.
So head over to www.weeklyanimereview.com or look for us in your favorite podcast directory. The Weekly Anime Review Podcast. Anime reviews for your ears.
So that ends a shorter episode this week. We recorded it...
Shorter? That was like an hour and a half almost.
Oh, was it?
Well, an hour and 15 minutes, something like that.
Oh, well, so, didn't do a review or an... sorry, didn't do an anime person of the week on news, but...
I think it's an average length, so... the two-hour shows, I think, are an average.
Alex always hopes shorter things are average length.
Quiet!
So, yes. So, anyway, I will be going to Singapore tomorrow. If I can, I will try and... upload some sort of a recording online if I can catch Alex at the right time. And
it'll be very interesting. So
yeah, give a little bit of a report. Singapore is that cheap and that close to go to. I could conceivably go there for a weekend if there was ever an anime con there. And I will check out the anime side of things there also, for those of you who are interested. So yes, thanks a lot for emailing us, guys. We appreciate it. We will always welcome... replies and new emails at animepacific@yahoo.com.
Yeah,
and
or
please,
check out the main website.
Yes, animepacific.blogspot.com, please.
Yes.
Yes,
Thank you, and see you next week.
Yes, any iTunes listeners that have just come in?
Oh yes, iTunes. Add us to iTunes.
Yes.
Help us crack the top 50.
Yes. Okay, so see you next week.
Soothe me, yeah.
Bye-bye.
Soothe me. Soothe me, yeah. Baby. Soothe me, yeah. Everybody put their hands together and soothe me.
Come on, y'all.
Oh.